Did you see that full moon last night shining in the clear sky? I still enjoy the fact that the date for Easter is chosen by finding the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. I always imagine the bishops in the Vatican consulting their planet charts and their moon charts to figure out when the Easter eggs will arrive. Whatever dogma has gotten attached to Easter, it is a profoundly earthy holiday. It's about spring and about full moons and about how holy life on this earth is, how lucky we are to be born here. It is about life rising up where we thought there could not be life. And here it is. Chris Chance and Bob Moore will light our chalice this morning, and I invite you to speak our covenant. The words to our covenant are printed in the order of service. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament. Its service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace. To seek knowledge and freedom. To serve humanity in fellowship. Respect the nurturing power within all of us. Thus do we covenant. This flame this morning holds the light of life and the flicker of mystery, both. I invite you to join in singing our opening hymn. The words are printed in the order of service, or you will find it in our turquoise hymnal. It is number 1011. Return again. Kim Canfield has a story she would like to share with all of us, but the youngest members of our community are welcome to come forward so that they can see pictures with this story, and you're welcome to bring an adult with you if you'd like to.
If you'd like to come up, you may, but you don't have to. Good morning. Oh, this yellow and pink.
Oh, I have that book. My dad got me that book.
We have this book at home, some families, on the day you were born. By Deborah Fraser. On the eve of your birth, word of your coming passed from animal to animal. The reindeer told the Arctic terns, who told the humpback whales, who told the Pacific salmon, who told the monarch butterflies, who told the green turtles, who told the European eel, who told the busy garden warblers, and the marvelous news migrated worldwide. While you waited in darkness, tiny knees curled to your chin, the earth and her creatures with the sun and the moon all moved in their places, each ready to greet you, the very first moment of the very first day you arrived. On the day you were born, the round planet Earth turned toward your morning sky, whirling past darkness, spinning the night into light. On the day you were born, gravity's strong pull held you to the earth with a promise that you would never float away. While deep in space, the burning sun sent up towering flames lighting your sky from dawn until dusk. On the day you were born, the quiet moon glowed and offered to bring a full bright face each month to your windowsill. While high above the North Pole, Polaris, the glittering North Star, stood still, shining silver light into your night sky. On the day you were born, the moon pulled on the ocean below, and wave by wave, a rising tide washed the beaches clean for your footprints. While far out at sea, clouds swelled with water drops, sailed to shore on a wind, and rained you a welcome across the earth's green lands. On the day you were born, a forest of tall trees collected the sun's light in their leaves, where in silent mystery they made oxygen for you to breathe. while close to your skin and as high as the sky, air rushed in and blew about invisibly, protecting you and all living things on earth. On the day you were born, the earth turned, the moon pulled, the sun flared, and then, with a push, you slipped out of the dark quiet, where suddenly you could hear a circle of people singing with voices familiar and clear. "Welcome to the spinning world," the people sang as they washed your new tiny hands. "Welcome to the green earth," the people sang as they wrapped your wet, slippery body. And as they held you close, they whispered into your open, curving ear, "We are so glad you've come." The end.
This is a little excerpt from a book that was very popular some years ago. You may remember reading it, or you may remember people talking about this. The book itself is a story of a woman's journey, and this is a moment that she observed in another culture on the other side of the world. We are each born once, and then things change in our lives, and perhaps a new part of us is born. We keep getting born in new ways as we change and grow. And this is a story about how one culture honors the many changes, the many births. The Balinese people don't let their children touch the ground for the first 6 months of their life because newborn babies are considered to be gods sent straight from heaven. And you wouldn't let a god crawl around on the floor. So in this ritual of welcoming a six-month-old to the earth, the spiritual leader makes a drawing on the bottom of a pottery bowl with the four directions of the universe, fills the bowl with holy water, and sets it on the ground. This hand-drawn compass marks the holy spot on the earth where the baby's feet would first touch. Then the whole family gathers by the baby, everyone seeming to hold her at the same time, and then, whoop, there she goes. They lightly dip the baby's feet into the pottery bowl full of holy water, right above the magic drawing which encompasses the whole universe. And then they touch her souls to the earth for the first time. When they lift her back up into the air, tiny, damp footprints remain on the ground below her, orienting this child at last onto the Balinese grid, establishing who she was by establishing where she was. Everyone clapped their hands delighted. The little girl was one of us now, a human being, with all the risk and thrills with that perplexing incarnation. The baby looked up, looked around, smiled. She wasn't a god anymore. She didn't seem to mind. She wasn't fearful at all. She seemed thoroughly satisfied with every decision she had ever made.
Let's get closer to the table.
Excuse us, we're still wired. This is a song by Bruce Cockburn, some of you might be familiar with his music. It's called Mystery, and we actually did this a couple years ago. Kendra happens to like this song, and so that's the least we can do. And the song actually has a, has some repeating phrases in it, and so if you can actually hear the repeating phrases, if you catch on, we'd like you to help us. Please help us sing it. Actually, I'll play through the first chorus or refrain, and if you catch on, please sing along, okay? You can't tell me there's no mystery, mystery, mystery. You can't tell me there is no mystery. It's everywhere I turn. You can't tell me there is no mystery, mystery,
mystery.
You can't tell me there is no mystery. It's everywhere I turn. Want to try that? You can't tell me there is no mystery,
mystery,
mystery. You can't tell me there is no mystery, it's everywhere I turn. Moon over junkyard where the snow lies bright,
snow lies bright.
Snow lies bright. Moon over junkyard where the snow lies bright can set my heart to burn. Stood by the shaman, I saw star-strewn space. Star-strewn space. Star-strewn space. Stood before the shaman, I saw star-strewn space. Find the eye holes in his face.
Infinity always gives me vertigo, vertigo,
vertigo.
Infinity always gives me vertigo and fills me up with grace.
I was built on a Friday and you can't fix me. You can't fix me. You can't fix me. I was built on a Friday and you can't fix me. Even so, I've done okay. It's the refrain. Don't tell me there is no mystery.
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 And don't tell me there is no mystery. It overflows my cup. This feast of beauty can intoxicate, intoxicate, intoxicate. This feast of beauty can intoxicate, just like the finest wine.
So all you stumblers who believe love rules, believe love rules, believe love rules. Come all you stumblers who believe love rules, stand up and let it shine. Stand up and let it shine.
stand up and let it shine.
All you stumblers who believe love rules, stand up and let it shine. In this meditation, I will, in fact, invite you to stand for a few minutes. But if you prefer not to stand because it's not comfortable for you to do so, please don't. Please remain seated and enjoy this time of noticing breathing and noticing what it means to be in a community of people who are standing and shining, whether it be in body or spirit. For this standing meditation, I will invite you to stand and notice your feet on the ground. So it might be that you even wish to take your shoes off. That's what we do with holy ground. And again, you might want to keep your shoes on, either because you hit some of that snow that's still around this morning and there's a puddle where you're sitting, or you're more comfortable with your shoes on. But if you want to, you could take your shoes off and really notice your feet on the ground here. Notice what it feels like to have your feet on this holy ground. And then I invite you, if you are willing and comfortable, to rise and feel what it's like to stand up in this holy place, in this holy time. See what it feels like to stand and let it shine. Now I invite you to stand here for about 2 minutes, noticing your feet on the earth, noticing the breath, the common breath that we all share, noticing how you are reaching up into the light that shines around us. Stand up and let it shine. Part of how we find our lives, find ourselves, is to tell stories. Sometimes it's the story of being born, arriving on this earth, becoming human in whatever way we think that happens. Sometimes it means telling the stories of what is happening in this human life with all of its jumble and turmoil, its sorrows and sweetness. If you have a piece of this great human story that you would like to tell this morning, I invite you to come and stand with me down here by the piano and tell your part of this great story.
Good morning. I love that we started with a return because Jim and I have just returned last night from Costa Rica, where we had the great pleasure of going with our daughter Beecher to meet our other daughter Barona and her friend Celia Duffy from Stratum. They're traveling and working throughout Central America, and they are glowing. And we were warm, and we were with monkeys and birds, and we were in the cloud forest in Monteverde, and I actually did the zip line. But when you watch primates, as you know, it doesn't take long to look back at people and see the monkey troops in all of us. And I was noticing the babies, and they were doing calls with each other. So I've come back enchanted and really glad to be here.
We honor all the stories of this human adventure, the arrivals, the departures, the changes. So much gathers on these holidays, so many hopes and so many memories. We honor all that is gathered here in our hearts, in our families, and in the world around us. In the biblical stories about Easter, there are various versions of what happened, as it is with most of the stories about Jesus and his living on this earth. In some of the versions of the Easter moment, there is an earthquake and a frightening angel who announces that he has left the tomb. But in the earliest version of the story, the tomb is just open, and when the women go inside, there is a man sitting in there wearing white. He's just sort of sitting there, and he says, "Oh, Jesus, you're looking for Jesus. He's not here." In a way that has always seemed very casual to me. And it's interesting to me that all of these stories about Easter have different feelings about how momentous people understood the moment to be and how much they had to figure out what was happening. And having all of these different stories, all these different versions, lets you know that these are indeed all stories that people are telling to make sense of something that they heard about from long ago and trying to make sense of their own lives at the same time because of the way the stories are different from each other. So we know that there is something symbolic about each of the stories that is told about Easter, which means that there is something deeply true in each of the versions of the stories, something that is spiritually, emotionally true, regardless of what the facts of the matter are. So the disciples of Jesus go to tend to his body after he has been killed. And it, of course, surprises and frightens them that the body is not in the tomb. So they know immediately that they have entered the realm of mystery. They are frightened. In some of the stories, they don't talk to anyone about it because they don't understand what's happening. They don't fully recognize the miracle of it, the wonder of it, until they encounter Jesus again. They don't recognize him at first in some instances. And I think it's interesting that the story of Easter doesn't have Jesus ascending immediately in a glory of light into the heavens to disappear, to become fully a God again. But in all of the stories of Easter, he walks on the earth again. Like the baby in the Balinese story, he may be connected to another realm, but he has stepped on this earth as if everywhere is holy ground. In the Easter story, they tell it that Jesus stays close to life on this earth, even after his resurrection. He refuses to give up his claim to this place that we share. So he walks around on the earth and he meets with his followers and encourages them. He doesn't perform any more miracles. He's just here. And he didn't stay long in any of the stories. But I think it's important that he walked again on the earth, put his feet down here again. Means that Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, taught us that our lives happen with our feet on this earth, with our lives engaged with what is happening in the present moment, with each of the people around you. The religious life, the redeemed life, is a life that doesn't keep its distance, but keeps returning to all of the connections, to the joys and the sorrows. It is like being born and reborn each time we choose to put our feet on the mud or the sand. As the storybook says, on the day you were born, the moon pulled on the ocean below. The moon pulled on the ocean below, and wave by wave, a rising tide washed the beach clean for your footsteps. Part of the joy of this springy Easter time this year is that we can see the earth again. We can indeed put our feet on the earth again. And it can seem like, well, it's just that the snow has melted. But I think there is a profound claim to life that comes with being able to put our feet on the earth again. This is the miracle of life coming back. It means that we too have a chance to do what Jesus did, not keep our distance, not keep our distance from the growing of things, or from the love or the pain of this life, from the unfairness or the deep inner searching. Easter invites us to celebrate our love and our profound connection to life on earth, to consider that the earth did in fact celebrate and ready itself to receive each new life. Whether it is your life or the little feet of a baby halfway around the world, each of us is welcomed and celebrated. Be part of the miracle of Easter. Don't keep your distance. Keep your feet on the ground. We take up an offering each week so that this community can keep its feet on the ground here. We have been rooted here for decades now. It's part of how we live out our love and our joy and our investigation of the mysteries of this life. During this offering time this morning, you are welcome to light a candle for a memory and or a hope in any of the three places up front. The morning offering for the joy and love of this congregation will now be received. What the Body Says by Mary Oliver. I was born here, and I belong here, and I will never leave. The blue heron's gray smoke will flow over me for years, and the wind will decide all directions until I am safely and entirely something else. I am thinking of this winter morning as I sit by the fire, and the fire in its red rack keeps singing its crackling song of transformation. Of course, I wonder about the mystery that is surely up there in starry space. I invite you to rise again and let love shine. Join in singing Siyahamba. You'll find it in the turquoise hymnal, number 1030. The English words are also printed in your order of service. I put out the light of the chalice in this room, but go and march, sing, dance in the light of love. Please join in our unison benediction. The words are printed in the order of service. Go in peace.
Speak truth. Give thanks each day. Respect the earth and all creatures, for they are alive like you. Care for your body. It is a wondrous gift. Be gentle with yourself. Live simply. Be of service. Be guided by your faith and not your fear.